Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. As always, it is wonderful to have you listening, so thank you. This episode is brought to you by Nature Nate's Honey. I'm thrilled to be working with this beautiful honey brand as it ticks all of my honey boxes. It's totally raw and unfiltered, it's made by Aussie bees, and there's also an organic option. Honestly, this has been life for me over the last 2 months as I've been doing the 75 hard challenge. And as part of that, I committed to gluten-free and sugar-free for the full 75 days. I've got a serious sugar chocolate sweet tooth, so this was no easy task. I've been using Nature Nate's to use my own raw chocolate, which is divine. I've been coming up with cool new combos every week, and I have to say that has gotten me through this challenge. You can find Nature Nate's on the shelves of your local Woolies, and I hope you love the brand as much as I do. This week, I'm introducing you to my wonderful mentee, Liz Dawson. Liz is the owner of exercise physiology business Northside Allied Health and also is the founder of Kids Heart Pilates. She is one of my longtime mentees, and something we identified early in our mentoring journey together was the need for her to start delegating responsibilities to her team in the business, but also to build a team at home that she could delegate to as well. Liz has run with her outsourcing mission like an absolute pro. And in this chat with me, she shares the background to her career, the health scare that almost derailed her business, the many demands on her time when we started working together, the tools she used back then and still uses to get clear on what she could hand over, what her personal tipping point was to getting intentional about outsourcing, both in her businesses and also at home, the very first steps she took towards making that a reality, a day in her outsourced life now, what's outsourced and also who's doing it, the upside to the level of outsourcing she has in her life now, how it's benefited her, her family and also her businesses, how she deals with the guilt of outsourcing, and I've noticed this is a really big one for women, so I'm really glad that we talked about this in our chat, what the biggest learnings have been on her journey, and also what words of advice she has for other women who are aiming to do what she's done when it comes to outsourcing. I think you're going to love this chat with Liz, and I can't wait to bring her on. So let's do it. Welcome to the show, Liz. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here for having me. I'm very excited.
I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for months. And then when I decided to do this season on the show all about, some of them are mentee case files, these episodes, I was like, I have to talk to you about outsourcing. So yeah, I'm so happy you're taking this time. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I call you the outsourcing queen, and given your adventures in this space, I think particularly over the last year, and you've actually come up in quite a few of my monthly Love Club sessions with my group.
Yeah.
Because people are following you on Instagram and they're loving what you're putting out about how you're structuring life and managing life with, the whole inverted commas busy mom, and then also running two businesses as well. Would you mind giving us, just to give everyone some background as to who you are and what you do, could you give us an idea, a background to your career and you personally as a starting point, just so everyone knows who you are?
Yeah, sure. So I am an accredited exercise physiologist, and I've got two businesses, one being Northside Allied Health, where I've got 5 clinic locations across Queensland and New South Wales. And that is chronic disease management. And I've got teams of exercise physiologists working for me, seeing clients across various different funding. And then I've got Kids Heart Pilates, which is a business that I go and teach at early learning facilities. And we teach Pilates to kids age from 2 years and up. I've also got an online program and have a course teaching other exercise professionals how to run programs like mine. So yeah, it's fairly busy. I took over Kitsap Pilates. I founded myself, and I started that in 2011. And Northside Allied Health, I actually bought that business. I was managing one of the clinics, and I bought it in 2014. And then over the next 9 months, opened. So I bought one clinic, and then I opened another five over 12 months.
Wow.
While I was still having a full client caseload, and I did not have admin as such, in-house admin at that time. So I was still doing all the phone management and email management and team management and recruiting and everything. And as a result, well, it's not confirmed as a result, but I ended up having a stroke in November 2015, so in the middle of doing all of that, which they didn't know the cause. There was no kind of cause identified outside of stress. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty big wake-up call. I went from doing everything to doing absolutely nothing. I was 33 at the time, and I essentially took 6 months completely off. So at that time was obviously forced to outsource everything. And ever since then, I have not gone back to the taking clients, a full caseload, working full time, because I basically from there went into getting married and having kids. So, so from there, I guess I've dabbled with outsourcing, and then obviously in the last 12 months, I've taken it up a few notches. So
you could say that. I can't wait to get into it. And family. Then, so you got the two beautiful boys.
Yep. So yeah, had Flynn in 2017 and Marley in 2019, and. Yeah, so with Flynn, I went back to work really early. I just think I really struggled with that transition of my my pre-baby self and turning into a mum. So, and I think it's very similar story to you. Actually, I went back really early, and then with Marley, my second, I did not. So with Marley, I decided no kind of set meetings, and I just said to my team, if you need me, call me, and if I can't answer, I will get back to you when I can. Mm-hmm. And I had set days, which were mum days, and set days, which were business days. But I just worked within nap time and did that for 12 months. But then was catapulted back into chaos, I guess, and fairly full time work with COVID last year. So yeah, it's been interesting year and a half, just figuring out how to manage COVID and locations across Australia that I can't get to, and being a mum and finding how it all gels together, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. And you and I have been working together for, it is a year and a half, isn't it, Liz? We started early last year.
It was kind of as COVID hit. So
yeah, it's quite evenly timed. And can I ask, so I know that the thrust of our work together hasn't necessarily been outsourcing, but just to give people a bit of context, what was the tipping point for you in getting in touch with me and starting to work with me?
So I actually read your Get Remarkably Organized book when I had Flynn, so that was in
2000. Oh, no way.
Yeah. And then from there, I pretty much just consumed anything that you were putting out.
Thank you.
And I'd had mentors in the past, but they hadn't necessarily been what I needed a bit of a nurturing, nurturing mentor. And I think when I was listening to all your podcasts, I think it was after the one that you did with Wade, and I got Pete to listen to it, and we were talking about it, and I said, I think I might get in touch to see if I can do some mentoring. I think
Wade some commission.
Yeah. I think I just knew that it was not necessarily just going to be all about business. It was like a bit of a holistic approach. And I knew that I needed to heal and get myself sorted. And I felt like you were the right person to take me in that direction.
Oh, thank you. Right. And you're right. You know, and I think you've embraced this so thoroughly. The whole idea that, you know, it's great to say, yeah, I want to build a great business and scale and hire more people and make more money and launch new products and all of the things. But that's, you can't do any of that if your energy isn't in the right place. And what zaps our energy is when our relationships are challenging, when our physical and emotional and mental health isn't where it could be, where we've got a complete lack of connection with ourselves and our own spirituality. You know, there's a lot of other things. It's almost like the tip of the iceberg is the successful business.
Yeah,
all of the other stuff is underneath that. And I think, yeah, I adore working with you because we've obviously worked together now for a year and a half, and I just love being part of your life because you don't just implement the business stuff, you implement the holistic side of things as well. I think that's an absolute testament. Sorry, the success that you have had is a testament to the fact that's how openly you've embraced that. So on to outsourcing.
Yes.
So what when did you really start to get intentional about outsourcing?
I think, well, in our first session, I think we identified some things that needed to happen, some changes that needed to happen. And I think I was kind of forced to sit down and reflect on what I was currently outsourcing. And I had with Northside, I had my front desk, like client services stuff outsourced, but I didn't have anything for Kids Heart Pilates. So I was still doing all of that admin. And I think I realized that I was just scared to ask people to do things for me. So I needed to kind of restructure my support team so that I could get more help and manage my time a little bit better. Because I was doing things that not only did I not need to do, but things that didn't necessarily, you know, really excite me. So I wasn't getting the best out of my time, and nor was my business. They weren't getting the best.
Yeah. And our families don't get the best. No one's getting the best out of this. Yeah. So true. And can you just step us through? So how did you know, was there a process that you went through in order to identify what you shouldn't be doing? So you said the stuff you knew you shouldn't be doing. How did you really articulate or identify, okay, I should be doing that and I shouldn't be doing this other thing?
So I did the time task audit.
Yes, my favorite tool.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to get the time task audit, it's just to explain what it is. It's a very simple Excel spreadsheet where you just do a massive vomit of everything you do in your life into one column. And then there's four options. Then you either decide whether you should continue to do it, delegate it, outsource, or just stop doing it altogether. And Liz, I know you've done that several times, haven't you, over the last year and a half?
Yeah, I think I've done it about four times. I actually do it every time I feel like I need to recruit someone new.
Yes, great way to do it.
I look at the tasks involved, and then that kind of formulates the job description.
Perfect. Love. And if anyone wants to grab that, it's on the resources section of my website as well. I'll pop a link in the show notes as well. So you did the time task audit, and did you do that for the businesses or personal or for both at the very first time?
I actually did it for everything.
Yeah,
so I basically looked at everything that I was doing. And even just like the mental load, I feel like the mental mum load is so ginormous and it's never really kind of, you know, it's never there in front of you. It's just in your head. So it's not your diary. But it's stuff that we're dealing with, you know, all the time. So I just wrote down everything that I do with the family and then everything I do with each business. And just looked at what I wanted to keep, what I wanted to outsource, delegate, and I also kind of considered how much I loved doing it and whether it kind of gave me energy or took energy away from me.
Oh, you've just given me an idea to actually expand on that tool. That's a really good idea. Does it build energy or zap energy? That's a great idea. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Because I think that kind of will contribute to the time it takes as well.
So true. Yeah.
It's kind of energy expensive. You know that it's going to take more time than actually what the task is, because you kind of need to have downtime after it and so on. So, and it's not to say that you don't do those energy expensive tasks. It's just maybe getting some of the easier things off your plate sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So you did your big time task audit, figured out, okay, I could be, and so we're going to talk about like the outsourcing and the delegating columns.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example, maybe two or three things in the business that, and I know I'm asking you to cast your your mind back 18 months.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of a couple of the things that you've successfully outsourced in the business that you identified way back then?
Yeah. So I think what I found I was doing, so I was managing the team as well. So one of the, in both businesses, and doing all the onboarding and induction and all of that sort of stuff and recruitment. So what I did was I looked at team members that I could promote into clinical management roles. And they then became responsible for weekly touch points with the team in terms of, you know, keeping their finger on the pulse with clinical requirements and, you know, any case studies, so any issues with any clients. And then they started to also do the team meetings. So just the organization and planning of those team meetings. So I would still be there, but I wasn't necessarily responsible for coming up with the plan and running those team meetings, which I found really quite energy expensive. And then I couldn't kind of bring my energy to the relationships, which I thought was really important.
Yes. Can I just pause you there, my dear? Because something I want to ask you about as well as later on this chat is the guilt around outsourcing. Because I think very often we can say, okay, if we're outsourcing, then, oh, I feel bad asking that other person. Mm. But what I love about your example from the team is that's given you outsourcing or delegating that over to them. It's given them a chance to step up. Yes. So you're actually doing them a favor.
Yep. Actually, the two people that I promoted were so excited because they were stepping into a management role that they didn't even know was an option. So, and that was literally probably the easiest. That was definitely the easiest way for me to outsource and get things off my schedule. I didn't, like, I barely needed to do any training. It was more just getting like their default diaries organized. And so they were managing their time and kind of sitting down and fleshing that out with them. And just having systems in place that made us kind of refer to the systems that were there that I may not have been using because I was kind of in a world of chaos. So I was just kind of flying through it all. But it made us kind of use the systems, rely on the systems, and everyone kind of knew what the expectations were. So so that was probably the easiest part of the puzzle. And it was one of the first things I did. And I think doing that time task audit just opened my mind up to where I could use people that I already had a little bit differently.
Yes. And that's a really good point, my dear, that you've made, because it's not always about, okay, because I know if you think about, oh, God, three more people to help me in my life and business, that's just too many people to oversee and manage and keep on top of and also to pay, let's be honest. Yeah. So I think you've made a really good point there. Sometimes it's just about making it more efficient with the people you already have, which is a gold point you've just made. Thank you for flagging that.
No worries. Yeah, that's definitely, it was, I don't know how it came to me, but I was just like, oh my gosh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It was really easy. So that was kind of the first step.
Thank you. Can we flip to home then? So that's a really nice example of the business. What did you identify at home that you were like, nah, this isn't the best use of my time to be doing this stuff?
Oh, so much. So I think at home, I really realized, and I don't think it really hit home until after I outsourced it.
Yeah.
But I realized that I was so kind of busy, you know, just getting the kids ready for daycare or kindy, and doing the groceries and doing the washing. Pete was doing the laundry all weekend, the cleaning, the just even email management, So she deletes all my kind of promotional emails or puts them into a folder, and I can then sort through them and gets that all tidy.
Sorry, my dear, can we just pause for a sec? Just being clear, so you've hired someone, a nanny?
She's a nanny / PA. So she's a bit of a cross between the two.
Gold. And then so she's managing emails. And she's also doing some things in the house and looking after the kids.
Yeah. So what I did was I contacted a nanny agency. It was the one that you recommended.
They're great.
Dream Nannies.
Yes.
And I'll
pop that in the show notes as well, because I know we'll get questions.
I actually just rang them up and had a chat with them. I just said, look, I want someone that's good with kids, so that in the mornings or afternoons, or if I'm like held back at work, they can go and pick Flynn up from kindy. Just someone that was good with kids, but I also needed them to be good at organizing and do some other stuff at home, some light cleaning and organizing at home, through to someone that could manage emails and that was, you know, a little bit tech savvy. And she just said, well, you need a nanny PA. Mm-hmm. So I actually got quite a few resumes from that, because I think it was maybe a little bit different to
just
the nanny role, maybe a little bit more interesting.
Well, I was going to say that's pretty amazing, because you are looking for a bit of a unicorn with a few different skill sets that you need there.
Yeah. So originally when I was talking to her, I said, oh, will they do, you know, all the cleaning? And she said, look, if you don't want to put all of it into one role, which is something that I've really learned over the last 12 months as well, because that's something I did with the admin at work as well. I put it all in there, like the marketing and all of it, which now I've segregated a little bit. And her point was, you know, if you've got someone that's really good with kids, they're not necessarily going to be really efficient at cleaning. So I kept my fortnightly clean, which I already had. And then I got Claire on board that she's a psychology student, and she's great with the kids. The kids absolutely love her.
Oh, great.
And she just gets things done. So she just pretty much will anything that, and I've got it all in Asana. I've got it all systemized and got what tasks are done every day that she's here and what tasks are done on separate days. And she just kind of follows whatever I put in there. It's working really, really well. Actually, that's probably the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It's more helpful than I had anticipated, because even when things are crazy at work, and if I've had a changeover in team members at work, at least the home stuff's sorted.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just put it in Asana. Like, as I think of something, I just put it in Asana. I know that she gets it. And if I get home and something's I want something done a little bit differently, I'll just kind of comment on it in Asana and then we have a conversation about it.
Brilliant.
And it's worked really well.
So good. I remember, so you've been in two masterminds with me as well as doing one-on-one mentoring with me. And I remember on a Friday with my mastermind, I asked people to share what their win was from the week. And I remember you sharing one of your win that week was that you had Claire onboarded and you had set her up on Asana, and that you were sitting at your desk working in the office and you could just see on Asana everything at home being ticked off on Asana as she worked through it. And you were just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. That was like, oh, the best.
What a
day
moment.
Ever. Yeah. It was so good. And it actually, I learned so much from that, because it made how I onboarded team members at work. I changed that whole system. I actually time in June, July, because what I realized from the home outsourcing was, because I knew the tasks that I was giving her inside out, it was so easy to systemize and to put together and to communicate. I also felt a little bit indulgent getting help for home. So it made communicating so much easier, because I knew the tasks, I knew that, you know, I was paying decent money for someone to do it, and it was kind of stepping up a little bit in terms of what I would outsource. So I communicated things really clearly and probably not as emotionally as I would have in the past. So then I took that to work, to my work outsourcing. I did the admin. I made sure I knew how long things took, which tasks were kind of the annoying tasks, and how, yeah, just what it really, really involved, and then did exactly the same process at work. So I put it all in Asana, what days to do what tasks, how long those tasks took. And so now when I'm negotiating those admin roles, I'm in a much better position to do it. So that home outsourcing has actually, I've had so many learnings from that that has translated into the work outsourcing as well.
That's so good. Mm. So fast forward to now in life as is, can you just give an idea, almost like, and I know some people are going to be really jealous and going, I want to make that happen in my life. Can you just step us through an average day in your life where you're going to work, you're at home? So
yep.
What does the outsourcing journey look like day to day? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yep. Thank so what I'm actually outsourcing.
Yeah. So from in the morning, what happens?
Yep. So I've got Claire. So that's my home help. I've got her Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so we've just worked it around what days we're at daycare and what days are at kindy. Yep. So it's a little bit different each day. But typically Claire will arrive at 6:30. So for example, on Wednesdays, and I think one huge learning that I got through it all was that you can't outsource self-care. And if you want to have any energy for life, your family, yourself, then you actually need to outsource other tasks so you can look after yourself.
Yeah.
And so she comes, say, for example, on a Wednesday, she comes at 6:30 and Pete and I go for a walk together and go and get coffee together, which is amazing.
Yeah. So are your kids out of bed then, or do you slip out before they get up?
Yeah, so they're basically out of bed at 6:30. So they're literally getting out of bed and they're like, is Claire here? Is Claire here? Where's Claire?
Oh, that's so sweet.
So excited. Yeah. So she'll come, she'll put the laundry on. So on Wednesdays she strips the boys' beds and does the towels. So she'll get here at 6:30. She'll put that on, and then we'll go for a walk. She does getting them ready for daycare or school or whatever is happening that day, which changes each week. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get back, and then she'll go into she does the groceries does meal, she does it, she's got like a monthly meal plan that she's just taken over. So she does the monthly meal plan, does the groceries for the week.
So do you write the shopping list or input into the shopping list, or does she have full creative control on the shopping list?
No, she's doing that now. She's doing all of it. So originally, wow. I think.
And are you happy with what she buys? Because I feel like food is like something I'm really fussy about.
I have got a shopping, like I've got in Asana, I've now got a shopping list. So she just checks that off.
Gold. Okay. Yeah. So she plans the food, she plans the shopping list, and then you've got stuff that you need in there as well that she'll pick up while she's out.
Yep.
Yes, got it. Cool.
Exactly. And so now I'm just adding in for her to get a bunch of flowers while she goes to the shops, because that makes me feel good.
Yes.
And I looked up flower delivery and it was insanely expensive. So I'm like, oh, I'll just get her to pick up, you know, a $10 bunch while she's there.
Yeah, lovely.
Which is nice. So, so she basically does that while I'm either doing, you know, quality time with the kids or I start work essentially. So, it just means that I can kind of stick to my schedule and I don't have to worry about all the little things like making sure the kids have got sun cream on. Like, so she does the sunscreen for the boys, all of that little stuff, and whether it's I'm working from home or I go into work, I'll come home, the house is tidy, the laundry's done and away, the oils, like I go as far as her putting the oils on so it smells nice when I come home.
I love this. Oh my gosh, love. So, yes,
just things that make me feel good, because that's what it was about. And then so that's kind of the work. And she'll book every fortnight. Pete and I go out for dinner and she stays back a couple of hours. So she'll book our dinner. She actually, one of the big things she did, which was so helpful, was she prepared because my boys are born 2 days apart. So we had a joint second and fourth birthday party this year. And
you're bringing me out in a cold sweat just thinking about it.
Well, she did all the party prep. So she got the invitations, she got all the decorations, she did all the party bags, she did the pass the parcel, she got the cake organized. Like, there's communication obviously between us. She said she'll send me. She's like, what about this cake? I'm like, yep, that looks great. And I kind of did a list, and she'll just go out and get all the stuff and put it all together. So that was bit life-changing, actually.
Yeah. And I think it's important to recognize with this, okay, is that I think for some people listening, they might be like, oh my God, you ask your home help to put on the oils as you walk in the door. But I know if that was me and I was on the other side of that, and I knew that what I was doing, I was so clear on what the expectation was for my role, and I was so clear on how helpful it was for the person I was working with, I would love that level of direction. Does that make sense?
She loves it.
I've
just right person for me as well. Like, she responds really well to that structure, to Asana, to frequent feedback. She's into the same things as me. So she loves oils and candles and crystals. And so for my birthday, I came home and she'd bought me a nice candle, which is, you know, like, because I'm asking her to do all these things for me, she's aware of that. So there's some of the same values in there, even though she's kind of 20, we've got similar sort of values, which is really nice. So that just works really well. And I feel super indulgent, like really indulgent. The guilt is still underlying, but...
Can we touch on that? Is there particular times that you do feel guilty about having that level of help in your life, whether it's business or home? I feel like the business stuff, and I know Denise Duffel-Thomas talks about this a lot, I feel the business stuff, we can justify it because it's for the business, whereas the home stuff, it's like, well, no, I should be doing that. You know, the inverted commas, I should be doing that. It's my role, or does this make me a bad kind of person or a bad mother if I'm not doing all of the things for everyone? So can you just touch on how you navigate that? Because I don't think the guilt ever goes away. It's just a matter of dealing with it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And interestingly, I think I have equal or more guilt in the business, but I think that's because I've got my kind of block or tendency or, you know, habit that I'm working on is that I need to work really hard to justify position. And that's like a confidence and self-belief thing that I'm really working on, which I think I'm getting there, which is good. I think I'll always have to work on it
for sure. Like you 18 months ago versus talking to you now, holy crap, unrecognizable. I think, and you and I've talked about that privately as well.
I feel completely different, which is so refreshing, because you know, I was pretty sucky thinking that way. It was pretty exhausting. So it's I'm kind of pinching myself at the moment.
The guilt, I'm distracting you.
Sorry. So I think with the home guilt, to be honest, what it buys me is it buys me time with my family. So if I do feel guilty about it, I just, you know, I think back to one of the first weekends which we don't have her on the weekends, but we weren't doing laundry and I wasn't spending the whole day doing meal prep for the week. Mm-hmm. I was out in the garden playing with the kids, and then we went for a bushwalk into a rainforest. And I was just like, we have never got the energy to do this. So I think when I do feel a bit, you know, diva, guilty about it.
Mariah Carey.
I'm like, what am I doing? I kind of think that I am I'm being such a better mum and wife and kinder to myself. Because I'm an exercise physiologist and I felt bad about going for a run in the morning. Whereas now I know my kids are super excited to play with Claire. Like they absolutely adore her, and I'm happier and healthier and I'm spending more quality time with them. So I think it's just, I think you'd constantly need to work on it and have awareness around it. But I think that's what you need to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. The upside, if not for yourself, the upside for the people around us. And that's so key what you've just said. I love that. So what's been the upside? So I think feel like you've already kind of ventured into that question. So the upside sounds like more time with the kids, more time with yourself and Pete, more time for you to have self-care. I actually wrote that down in my notebook that you can't outsource self-care. I love that. Okay. Any other upside that you've experienced?
I think I can work more on the deep work that I need to do instead of the little things that I don't enjoy doing. Mm. So it's really enabled me to reflect even on that time task. And I think that's why I keep coming back to it, because as I outsource things, I've got more time. So it's kind of like, well, what do I really want to be spending my time on? So I think that's why it's important to repeat that as you, you know, change things. But the other thing that's really helped, which will be relatable to anyone that's in lockdown at the moment, because I systemized everything across the board of both home and business, when we were in lockdown, and I know we haven't been in, you know, extended lockdown here in Brisbane, thank goodness, yet. what was really good was that I had systemized everything and documented it. So I just, although Claire couldn't come, she's kind of did some stuff from home. So she did my email management and all of that sort of stuff from home. But I knew that on Wednesdays we washed the towels and I did the boys' sheets. And on Fridays we did our sheets. And I just followed the systems that she would do. And obviously Pete, my husband, could jump in and do all of that as well, which it just meant we had really nice flow and we knew what was happening when.
And it takes the second guessing out of it. And the, you know, that mental back and forth of, oh, should I change the sheets today? Should I not? Should we do it? It just cuts all that out. It's just like, you just do it. And I think it frees up time. Like you said, you found that flow, but also it just frees up so much mental bandwidth because you're not going back and forth. Should I? It's like, well, it's Wednesday, boy sheets, tick, done.
Exactly.
It's a great point you've made. Yeah, because she's almost you and Claire have set the system together, and then it's about then everyone implements it even when she's not there. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. So I found that was really helpful. And then just as I said, the quality time with each of my family and with myself and just being able to look after myself. I think that's like, I really struggled with feeling bad to exercise until I outsourced. And I think I'm just actually realizing that as I'm saying it too, like I don't feel bad about going out and exercising now because when I'm there, I'm there. I'm not doing all the things.
So interesting you've said that. So we're recording this on a Thursday morning and we have our nanny Eva 2.5 days a week, and she was the same nanny that we had when Lexi was small as well, so it's been really lovely to have her back again, and she's just kind of slotted back into the family. And my work day normally on a Thursday is she's here from 8 a.m to 4 p.m so I'm pretty much like at my desk as soon as Lexi she left the house this morning. And so Wade went ahead with her because she wanted to walk with Dada. So Wade went ahead with her, and then Eva was meeting her at the park and going to play with her for another while so Wade could come back and get on a call. And Wade and Lexi walked out the door, and I just said to Eva, I was like, okay, and now we have Prozac. Because I think we underestimate, like, just trying to get them out the door. And like, she just wants to potter and have a bit of a play and just all the little steps. So anyway, she's out. And then, so normally my day is 8 to 4, as soon as I can get to my desk, until 4 p.m. And then it's a hard finish 4. And what was happening is that Eva would go pick up Lexi because she's still at school, because she's preschool. She would go pick up Lexi at 3 o'clock, take her to the park for an hour with Wilder. and then come back in the door at 4. And then that was it, like, bang, I was on, you know, back in mama mode. Okay, dinner, what, you know, 17 different tasks that Lexi requires on the hour. What does Wilder need? So I asked Eva this week, could she stay till 5 o'clock today and Thursdays from now on? Because what I want to do is I finish work at 4, a hard finish, go for a walk for an hour to decompress, and then come back in at 5. And then I'm in family mode then for the next 4 days, because today is the last day of my working week. And that's hard for me to observe those boundaries, because I love my work. Like, I find so much, you know, I mean, I just love it. And it was hard for me to switch gears. So I think I love that you're saying that, because that exercise time, it's when, like you said, there's no emails on that walk, there's no phone calls, it's just you decompressing. Yeah. And also maybe if it's in the morning, priming yourself for the day. So I love that you've referenced the fact that the exercise is important. I think it's huge. And I think it also provides a bit of a bridge through to our workday or from our workday as well.
Exactly. I was just going to say that I think when you're working from home, particularly, like, you don't have that travel time to decompress and transition. And that's something that I've worked with Pete, because Pete has a, you know, 30 to 40 minute drive home. So he's listening to a podcast or music or, and he was literally arriving home with the kids. And I was like finishing something like really high. And then I'd walk out and I'd be like, oh, what are we having for dinner? I'm like, oh, okay, let's figure out dinner. And so there was no kind of like really quality time for anyone in there, including myself. So so now, like, Claire, the dinner's done. I said, you know, there's kind of like a bit of a checklist, and I said, before you leave, just make sure there's dinner there for tonight. So that we can kind of just have that time where we catch up and ask each other how our days were, and then dinner's kind of ready to go, and we can sit down together and have dinner together, which is really important to us.
Oh, there was something I was going to say to you. You made a really good point there. I'll come back to it. What have been the biggest learnings you've had on the journey for yourself?
So many. I think you need to believe that you're worthy of the help. I think that was my big block, and that's something that both you and Michelle had worked through with me, and that is across the board with the support. So that's with the work support as well. And as I said, I feel like I've had some guilt around outsourcing the admin stuff at work. But I think it's just, you know, knowing what your strengths are and knowing that you're worthy to outsource what are not your strengths and maybe some tasks that would be, you know, easy to outsource or things that you don't like. So just, knowing, believing in yourself and your worth, which is something that we all probably need to do a little bit more.
I 100% agree.
Another one is not onboarding too many people at once.
Yes.
I learnt that. So I onboarded my my unicorn at work, which was doing everything, and Claire within 2 months of each other. And really, the work was, that work position was so intense that really needed probably 4 or 5 or 6 months to settle into it, because it's quite exhausting going through everything, and you need to give it the time to give them the best chance. So, and then with Claire, like, just loads of questions, and, you know, that was about my family and my and my children, so that was also really important. So I think doing one person at a time and giving them a few months to settle in. The next one is learning how to listen to yourself when something might not be right or someone might not be right. You hear people say, oh, you know, I had that gut feeling, and I never really experienced that, but I get a tightness in my chest. And I learned that during an onboarding of outsourcing some tasks. And so now I really tune into that. So I think it's about identifying the sign your body gives you, and then listening to it.
Your signal almost.
And then learning how to act on that appropriately. So I think you need to also, what I've really learned with the at work admin is I needed to know the position. I needed to know the ins and outs of it, what was needed to be done, how long it took, which tasks were annoying, how long it took to call Medicare to follow up for a payment. I needed to know that, and I didn't know that before. And I think I didn't support the work admin as much as I could. Because I didn't know that. So I think that that's where I learned that the home outsourcing was so much easier because I knew the tasks inside out. So then I've been able to go back and do that with work. So I think and I think that helps you give them the best chance. You need to set them up for success. You can't just expect it. And that's something that I needed to learn.
Love that. Thank you. God, so many lessons. That's amazing. So good. What's the next horizon? Is this something that the next kind of iteration of what you would like to outsource? Or are you pretty happy with it, where things are at right now?
So I'm looking now as I said, with the work one, I've separated it. So I had one person doing everything and that didn't quite work. So now I've got like a client and team support, and I'm looking at a VA, so which does all the online support, helps with social media and all of that sort of stuff. But I'm still nurturing the admin onboarding at the moment. So I'm just looking probably towards the end of the year to get the online support.
Yeah, which goes back to your own advice of not onboarding too many people at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. Smart.
And then from there, I'm looking at my growth sort of strategy. So where I want to be with the businesses, and then what the team needs to look like, and what team members are already in the business that can progress up. So what does their career path look like? And so how do I facilitate that growth, basically?
Yeah. Brilliant. Love. Oh, you are such an inspiration, my dear. As I said to you in this chat already, just you now versus 18 months ago, you really were very, very time pressed last year. And it's just so great to see you flourishing, for want of a better word. Like you really are. You're just flourishing right now. And I know something I've seen is just how much more active you are on Instagram. Like your Insta content is amazing. Like it's really inspiring and motivating and insightful and thoughtful and funny and generous and all of the things. And I feel like I feel like I'm seeing you more on Instagram because you're doing this behind the scenes in your business and your home. Yeah. And that's just me, one perspective. Yeah. But it's really great because you're serving so many more people. You get to serve everyone, whether it's the kids or Pete or yourself, most importantly, or your team or your Insta audience and your clients. It's everyone gets more of you when you're setting your life up as effectively as you set yours up. So hats off. So impressed.
Thanks. It's nice to have energy, if I'm honest.
I'm laughing because God, how many women would say the opposite right now who are listening? So can I just also touch on as well here that I know you've kind of gone all in, having someone at home who could do all of the things. If that's not going to be as achievable right now, just doing the time task audit and finding out what are the biggest pain points. So I know I lost my shit last week about cooking on my work days because these work days are so full. Like I'm talking all day long, and then it's like bang into what I call the second shift of going into the mum mode. And we had gifts of dinner ladies vouchers. So we've got a freezer full of delicious meals, and it's just made things so much easier this week. So if someone's listening and they're like, oh my God, I'd love to have this person at home, but time or resources or money just don't allow it right now. It's just to pick off one or two things that might ease the burden, even for a couple of weeks to get yourself back some breathing space. I think that would be a really, really good thing to do. Was there anything else you wanted
to say? I was just going to say, even if it's just to get some exercise time for yourself or some self-care for yourself, I think that will then give you the energy and the confidence. Like if you just do a handful of things at a time, then you get the confidence that it's going to be okay. It's not going to break the bank, that you feel amazing. So you can actually bring your energy to the other areas of your life. And then you just kind of layer it from there.
Yeah, love. You sound like me there. Layering it. I'm a big fan of layering. Layering all of the things. Was there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think the easiest thing for me was to start with the home. I think it's easier to systemize. I think you've got your partner, husband, significant other there to help with the onboarding and the process. And if you get help with home, I think it's a big, big start. So I found that really worked for me. But yeah, just best luck and yeah, reach out if you've got any questions.
Oh, thank you. I'll pop a link to the both businesses and also your personal Insta as well, so people have that as well.
Thank you,
my dear. That was fun. Thank you so much, Liz. As you've probably learned by now, she is the absolute pro when it comes to outsourcing. And I really loved as well her insights on the mindset of outsourcing and almost like those little tweaks we need to make to our mindset around giving ourselves permission to do so. You can find Liz on Instagram, which is at Lizzie Dape, which is Lizzie, LizzyDaep. And to find out more about Kids Heart Pilates, you can go to kidsheartpilates.com.au. And for Northside Allied Health, go to northsidealliedhealth.com.au. And you can also find all those links to her in the show notes as well. And as we mentioned in my chat, to access my time task audit tool, go to the resources page on my website, which is lorrainemurphy.com.au/resources. And to inquire about mentoring with me, go to my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, and head to the Work With Me page on there. And I'll also put a link to my mentoring page in the show notes as well. And thank you again to Nature Nates for taking care of this week's episode. As I said, it ticks all of my honey boxes, and I hope you love it as much as I do. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.